with a certain Dan Bazarian.
And Yahoo lied to us about weapons of mass destruction. We follow these my friends have died over there. Like, you know, and I just look at what they provided us with, and it's not nothing. It's like a negative.
Even the Western value and all these kinds.
Because you were a party guy before.
Yeah, and so was you, Eddie. Don't try.
But I met a lot of Muslims, and they're, you know, pretty morally sound for the most part. So you would consider being a Muslim. I don't know enough about their religion. I think I'm gonna probably read the Quran. So
we were there. Yeah.
I used to go clubbing in that Leicester Square, very square, every weekend.
Some people might wonder what does 33? That's the age.
This is the danger. This is the danger. This is the danger.
Assalamu alaikum. I'm here with two esteemed guests and we're in London. Alhamdulillah, we're united here. Assalamu alaikum. How you doing? How you doing, Sheikh? How you doing, Ali Dawa? How you been?
Good, alhamdulillah.
We're in your backyard now.
Yes.
Two from the States here in London.
We couldn't come to you, you came to us.
Alhamdulillah. So tell us, you know what I like? I want the audience also to see, I like this jersey over here. Yeah. Some people might wonder, what does 33, that's the age of Jesus?
Isa ibn Maryam.
Jesus, yes.
The son of Mary.
What inspired you to get this jersey?
This is actually not my brand or anything.
Yeah.
Some brothers called Team Islam, and they made it. And they made it especially for da'wah. So when we go out and call people towards Allah, and we talk about how we love Jesus, how we love Moses, how we love Abraham, how we love Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon them, this is a way to represent that. Many people have this misunderstanding as if Muslims don't love Jesus, as if we don't accept Jesus, but we do. We love Jesus, we believe in Jesus as a prophet, as a messiah, as a messenger, as somebody who brought a message of God, as somebody who was the only way to God for his time. Meaning, every prophet that comes, he's the only way to get to God for that time. Meaning, if Moses' time, he's the only way to God. You can't follow somebody else. Abraham's time, that's his time. Jesus' time is his time. Muhammad, that's his time. Peace and blessings be upon all of them. So we got this to represent our love for Jesus and our belief in Jesus, peace and blessings be upon him, as a prophet in Islam. We don't worship him, don't get it twisted, but we love and respect him.
I want to get your guys' perspective. I just did a segment on a video that just came out. It was an interview.
You think the Middle East and the world would be a better place if Israel didn't exist? Yes. Okay. Israel's committed, you know, so many terrorist attacks. They're stealing land right now. They're operating in apartheid. They're currently committing a genocide on Palestinians. Like, do you believe in the genocide they're committing? I think
with a certain Dan Bazarian.
And Yahoo lied to us about weapons of mass destruction. We follow these. My friends have died over there. Like, you know, and I just look at what they provided us with, and it's not nothing. It's like a negative. You know, it's not, even if they just didn't do jack shit, that would be, you know, bad. But they've actually done things to hurt us over and over and over again. So like this whole thing of they're our greatest allies is complete. And, you know, we send them $100 billion and they send APAC $100 billion and then they distribute to our politicians and every politician will fuck APAC handler walk around and tell them what to fucking say, how to vote.
He's like the new Hugh Hefner of our age. But the good news is he's saying what already we know is that this life of hedonism is a dark hole. Mm-hmm. So there's a Muslim that's in touch with him that I know personally and he's been talking with him. And he hasn't really posted the hedonist stuff for over like a year and he wants to do things that are more fulfilling. So he was recently, I don't know if you've seen the interview, some bits of it are going around that he's talking about Muslims are good people.
They're fucking quarter of the globe. Like a quarter of the globe is Muslim. They're all fucking bad guys and all terrorists. They're actually like a pretty peaceful religion.
He's seeing past all the programming that Muslims are terrorists.
The idea that all Muslims are terrorists is fucking bullshit. But that's what Hollywood keeps fucking pumping out there. It's like every fucking bad guy in these movies are always these fucking jihadi terrorists. You know, like they're always the fucking bad guy.
And all the other nonsense that's out there. There was, and we'll show some clips of that, but there was one part of the interview I want to get your guys' perspective because a lot of people have this misconception revolving around what you're going to see in this video clip.
You know, going to the church and worshiping and doing all that stuff. To me, the idea of a, like, God that's up there that is requiring everybody to worship him seems a little strange. I'm not saying it's not, you know, okay, it's not shit on people's religion, but it just, I don't know, to me, the more successful people are, where, like, you know, the better a fighter is, the less he needs everybody to tell him how great he is, you know, and I feel like if you were God, would you really need everybody to worship you all the time and tell you how great you were? It doesn't seem to, you know, correlate with the experience that I've had. I feel like everybody knows the right thing is to do and just do the thing. Like, that's my religion thing. You know what it is, you know, like, I mean, everybody's kind of got their compass here, a sociopath or something like that, like, so just do the right thing and, you know, don't lower, you know, treat others as you want to be treated, you know, I think there's a lot of knowledge in the Bible, I think there's a lot of good quotes in there, but as far as, like, traditional mainstream religion, I'm not, you know, if I were to be anything, maybe Christian, you know, I like the Muslims, I mean, I think they have a pretty peaceful religion, they get a really bad rap in the media, but I've met a lot of Muslims and they're, you know, pretty morally sound for the most part, so you would consider being a Muslim. I don't know enough about their religion, I think I'm gonna probably read the Quran, so.
A lot to unpackage there. So, I mean, if we want to start from reverse or forward to help Dan along the way.
I would say let's start from the beginning where he was saying that he has this difficult time understanding why a God would need us to worship him. So the first thing to understand is Allah, the creator, the God, the only one worthy of worship, has no need of us. but we are in need of worshiping Him. See, when we pray five times a day, it's not that Allah needs it. It doesn't sustain Allah. It doesn't make Allah more powerful. But it reminds us who is our Creator, who is the greatest, who are the one we're going to return to. If we don't keep that mental check on us, imagine even with the prayers and even with the Quran, how much of an ego we have. How much pride do we have as human beings? Even knowing that God is the greatest, we have this misconception of thinking we can do everything, right? But as a Muslim, when I put my forehead on the ground, Allah doesn't need that. But I need that humbleness to show myself that, look, this life is temporary. There is a Creator that created me that I have to go back to, that I have to submit to, because that Creator's laws are how I should live. I don't know best. My Creator knows best. I need that, right? So that's the first thing to clear up from that misconception. And I'm sure Ali is going to break into that. Secondly, this idea of just do the right thing. Everybody knows that's the thing. People don't. What do you mean do the right thing? Is abortion the right thing or the wrong thing? Now, you can talk to different segments of our country and the country that we're in right now, and there'll be segments that will feel very morally compelled to say abortion is the right thing. It's a woman's right. It's her body. It's her choice. It's wrong for you to tell a woman what she can do with her body and her pregnancy, and it's her, right? They will morally make that argument. On the other hand, other segments of our countries, Christian and otherwise, will very morally say that abortion is murder. It's horrible. It's the wrong thing. It's absolutely the right thing is to condemn it and not allow it, right? So you see, both sides are using a moral judgment very different. It's not everybody. If you take about euthanasia, like people who are older, whether they can kill themselves, people that are in pain, the death penalty, you will find two very morally compelled different arguments.
Two opposite sides of the spectrum.
Right. And
totally,
each one of them will consider their point to be morally correct. So where's morality?
You need guidance now.
Right? Now, if you look at America, and I'm going to let the Brits have a pass, you know. In America, our forefathers were slave owners. You know, those people whose faces are Mount Rushmore that are on your dollar bills, they were slave owners, right? Now, if we say that today, they say, oh, that's presentism. That at that time, that was morally okay. Well, today we would say slavery is morally not okay. So why do we have George Washington, a slave abusing, you know, slave owner on our dollar bills? Because again, you take morality as being subjective, it's not objective. So this idea of just do the right bleeping thing, it's nonsense, because what is the right thing, right? If somebody steals, how should we deal with them? Oh, forgive them. Well, then you're going to get robbed every day. Oh, then put them in jail. Like, what's that going to do, right? That's why our Creator sent us guidance. Whether it's the time of Moses or Abraham or Jesus or Muhammad, peace be upon all of them, that divine guidance tells us how to live, how to treat our neighbors, how to deal with criminal acts, how to deal with spiritual diseases. That guidance is needed, an objective morality, right? And the last thing I'll say, inshallah, and benefit from our brother, is he's on the right track. He said, I want to read the Quran. Great, read the Quran. Our advice to him is go and read the Quran. And if you have questions, reach out to us. We're here to help you answer questions. I mean, to say that, I guess if I was going to choose, I'd choose Christianity just because you're from a Christian background doesn't make sense. In the end, you have to choose what's right. You have to choose what's most just, what's most morally correct, what's best preserved. That's the true message. I mean, you yourself were not raised in an Islamic environment, but you chose Islam. Right? Many people may not realize Ali Dawah, Ali, your brother, chose Islam. You know, myself, I was raised going to church, but I chose Islam. Why? When I read the Quran, when I read the Islamic belief, it made so much sense. It was so clear. It was so correct. It was such a divine truth that it showed me that all the corruption the church put in and synagogues and temples and all that could not stand to the truth of Islam. So we hope he will continue that path and actually read the Quran and ask questions. And just like when we saw Andrew Tate first coming towards Islam, it may be a process, but inshallah he'll be Muslim. Just like when we saw Sneeko first coming to Islam, it took months, but alhamdulillah he's a Muslim today. We hope, I don't know the brother.
Dan Mazurian,
inshallah someday will be a Muslim as well. I have no idea who he is, by the way. This is the first time I've heard of him.
Yeah.
But
Same. I know him. I don't know his name.
Yeah. So go ahead. What's your take on that? What's your insight on some of those
touch
things?
Just touch upon the thing of him saying, you know, does God need us to worship him? I believe this is one of the issues, even not just for himself, even a lot of Muslims face. There's one aspect of Tawheed we don't really understand, which is that there is a narration about a group of angels that were created, and their sole purpose is to be in sajda from the moment they are created to yani yawm al-qiyamah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells them to lift their heads up. And when they lift their heads up, they say something very interesting. They say, oh our Lord, like, we did not worship you the way you deserve to be worshipped. Now, this is very interesting, because we're talking about, you know, so some of us, you know, we pray and we think we're a mu'min. You know, I pray my sunnah is extra. We're talking about a group of angels who have in sajda for millions or billions or God knows how many years. The moment they are told to lift their head up, they say to Allah, we did not worship you the way you deserve to be worshipped. One aspect we don't understand about Tawheed is the following. We worship Allah not because what He does for us, but because of who He is. Like, for example, when I speak to people in, like, non-Muslims, and I tell them, when you see a famous person, let's say James Bond or whoever it is at their time, these famous actors, you get excited. Oh my gosh, like, you feel that? Oh my gosh, isn't that? And then you go, when you go next to him, your palms are sweating. The respect you have, is it okay if I can take a picture? The respect you give him, and ask a question, did this guy pay your debt? Did he back you up in a fight? What did he do so much that you have this level of respect that you're around him? Is it okay if I take a picture? Oh, is it okay if I can? Why are you? Who is he? What has he done for you? Because of he's an actor who he is. Now, if that's the respect you give to a human being that is an actor that you watch and you're excited, what about the one who's created the heavens and the earth? So it's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs us. Allah doesn't need, if every single human being stops praying, Allah doesn't need us. That's why if we understand who Allah is and understand Allah's attributes, understand who He really is, we will then grasp that He deserves worship. Even if He didn't command us in the Quran to pray, we would pray. We would bow down because we believe He deserves that. And then just touch upon the morality thing. Again, like, I can remember I was having a little debate with one of these murtads, yeah? And they were mocking Islam. They were like, look at the Quran. The Quran says, you cannot marry your mom or your son. And I was like, very interesting. You know why? Because he was the same person, talking about morality, because he has no objective morality. He was the same one who said, actually, morally, I cannot say it is wrong for me to have intimacy with my own daughter. And I thought, subhanAllah, you are mocking the Quran, but the Quran is a solution, because you're telling me there is nothing wrong with me doing A with my own daughter objectively. So to me, that's the only thing that I can say.
Yeah, I mean, this is profound now. So to have someone like Dan Bazerian now we have people, specialists who are in the field of communicating the message, and then, God willing, you guys can help get this message to him to help facilitate an easy way for him to really not, because a lot of times what people think, it's just so confusing. There's so many religions. So now it's kind of like they're all the same, just a buffet, pick one. So why does Islam stand out, and how can you say, because we say that other religions are man-made, but Islam is the divinely sent religion. How do they come to that realization like we have?
I mean, the thing is, if you look at many famous people who searched open-hearted, with their heart open for the truth, whether it's from Cat Stevens or Dr. Mears Brikai, name them, right? They always end up with Islam when they actually open their heart. See, most what we see amongst people that have become hardcore Christians is because they were born in it, or their families in it, or their traditions in it, right? Same thing with Judaism and stuff like that. But when you look at people who, like myself, to be very honest, right? Growing up, I went to church. I never went to a masjid, right? I didn't know Muslims. I went to Baptist church and Mormon churches and Kingdom Halls and Catholic churches. And with all of that, none of those man-made falsehoods ever satisfied my heart. It's only Islam. Because Islam is the only one that gave you a divine, pure message. When you look at the idea of Christianity, and again, this is with love and wanting good for all of humanity to be saved. It's not a criticism, but hopefully a way of opening their mind. Nobody can explain the Trinity without coming back to either dogma or coming... See how beautifully Ali explained Tawhid al-Uluhiyya, right? Like the fact that only Allah deserves of worship and can be worshipped and worship none but Allah, right? It makes such clear sense. But when you go to the Trinity, you will see our debates always. Either it's a mystery or just accept it, or such a dog and pony show that they have to like do mental gymnastics to try to explain these things, because in and of themselves they make no sense. If you look at the Hindu religion, and again, I'm saying this with hoping to spread good and truth, and not it's not an insult, right? But when I started to study it, none of it could make any sense. It just seems like stories, you know, because even if you talk to a lot of Hindus, they will say that, like, I had a debate here in the UK with a Hindu lady, and she said the story of Krishna is more just myth. It's not reality, you know, even though she was a hardcore Hindu, right? Why? Because to say your God, somebody you worship, was stealing women's clothes to see them naked is like how does that, how do you take that as a truth, right? Like this is why I studied Hinduism, right? And I got to a chapter about in Mahabharata about Ram and Sita, right? So Ram is a god, quote unquote, right? And Sita's a goddess. And he tells Sita, stay in the home. Like, so far, I respect the man, you know, like, stay in the home. He goes out, and Ravan, who is this evil king from Sri Lanka, I don't know why, sorry, Sri Lanka's become the bad guy in the story, with like 10 heads, from, or maybe 12 heads, he got a lot of heads. So he came and disguised himself and got tricked a goddess to come out and kidnapped her. Kind of summarizing the story. Mm. Now, don't get offended, brother, but if somebody looks at your wife wrong, what are you going to do?
Not good.
Be honest. Be real, bro.
Our Gita, our protective jealousy kicks in.
You look at my wife wrong and we're going to have a problem.
Yes.
You raise your hand towards my wife, bro, you're getting knocked out. I mean, I don't care. I got to go to jail. I'm going to defend my honor, right? Now, let's go to Ram. Ram comes home. He's a god that people worship. And his wife's gone. And he can't go defend her. A god cannot go and get his wife back. He has to get monkeys to help him. I kid you not. Monkeys. Hanuman, the monkey god, with monkey army to go monkey around and get Sita back. Over a year, she's there getting whatever. And that's why he leaves her later. He's like, I don't know what happened on that island, right? So how could you worship something like that? That doesn't make sense. Like that, you know, Buddhism, again, you know, this whole concept of reincarnation. Okay, if you live a good life, then you reincarnate into something better. Okay, how does a cockroach live a good life? Like, how does a cockroach come back as a monkey? Like what does he got to do, right? Like, what does a dog do to be a good dog to come back as a cow? If you think through these things, these are just stories. And, you know, Christianity basically corrupted the true message of Jesus and infused paganism. Whether it's Christmas, whether it's this idea of Zeus and Hercules and God and godlings and God having sex with women and having children. And they kind of morph that message, pagan message, into the beautiful message of Jesus, corrupting it and coming up with this new religion, right? Judaism took the true message of Moses, peace and blessings be upon him, and added all kinds of stuff that rabbis came up with that's not in the Torah, that's not in any of the divine writings or anything. So they made this man-made religion. In Islam, till today, when we pray, every aspect of that prayer I can show you from the Quran or authentic hadith. When you go for Hajj, every aspect of Hajj, of Umrah, I can show you from Quran or authentic hadith. When we fast in Ramadan, when do we begin our fast? When do we break our fast? You know, even what do we eat to break our... All of that from evidence. It's the only religion preserved on the true message as it was sent.
Let's finish off with an invitation. How would you invite Dan Bazirin or anyone else out there who now is tuning in and they like what we have to say, the worship of the Creator, not the creation, the pure monotheism, it makes sense, all of this other stuff that's out there, Trinity and God being a man, paganism, they're not really digging that. What steps would you tell Dan, the first that he should take, and how would you invite someone else to contemplate looking into Islam?
Personally, myself, obviously, coming from a similar background of, you know, just living the Western value and all these kinds.
Because you were a party guy before.
Yeah, and so was you, Eddie. Don't try it. Yeah, so the thing is, coming from that lifestyle.
So we understand their lifestyle.
Exactly, because what happens is you hit a wall. When we started doing Dawah in Leicester Square, so these people that are walking, I know their psychology, because I was at that very spot.
You were there,
I used to go clubbing in that Leicester Square, very spot, every weekend, because I was empty, I was lost, I was looking for a purpose. And I know these fake smiles, and I look like I'm having fun. No, you're not. I know how I felt. I know how you. That's why when I speak to them, I can relate to them. So subhanAllah, I would personally say one thing to understand is when people come and say, yeah, I believe in a higher power. But one thing that I came to the realization is that it is impossible to believe in a higher power and then just say, okay, he just put me here. Put you here for what? How does it make sense? I cannot believe in a creator that is purposeless. God, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, gave me a purpose. How is it possible that a glass has a purpose? My socks have a purpose. My trainers, everything that I have here, this mic, this camera, everything has a purpose. And me, I'm far superior in creation. How could I not have a purpose? So to me, I would say to ponder upon this, number one. Number two, to understand that only in the remembrance of Allah do hearts find peace. Which means that we believe in something called the fitrah, which is your innate disposition. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us that we would only find happiness in His remembrance. That's the reason why, if you look, that one thing that I realized was anything that I would give, like be it the money, the cars, the girls, all that kind of stuff, I was rejecting it. My soul was saying, this is not what I want. It's like when you eat bad food, what does your stomach do? It vomits out. It's got a program to say, bad, take it out the system. The soul is the same thing. The soul has its food, which is the remembrance of Allah. Anytime you give it something that doesn't belong there, it's saying, no, thank you. That's not it. It's not that. And what happens with the Western, a lot of people in the Western world, is they think, okay, if I go to, if I buy the latest car, or if I get a house, and they're like, what is it? There's something missing. That missing puzzle is what is your fitrah, which is your innate disposition that is remembering Allah. Once you find that, then you will find true contentment and happiness. And that's why I would tell our dear brother, is very simple. When you're on your own, this is what I did. I said, God, if you are there, and I believe you are there, guide me to the truth. I don't care, is it Christianity, please, all day, every day. I didn't pick and choose, I said whichever is the truth. If whichever religion is the truth tells me I need you every day, go climb a palm tree, come down, do 20 press-ups and 5 backflips. Is it the truth? No problem. The point is, the only true message that I found was with Quran is preservation, like the Sheikh said. And number one, it's simple essence of Tawheed. I already believed that. When I looked into Christianity, automatically I said, bye-bye. You're telling me Jesus is God. Salaam alaikum. I started reading the Bible first. I used to know a family who's Christian. I used to celebrate Christmas with them, Easter with them. I opened the Bible, I start reading, I start watching some debates. The moment I heard Jesus is God, I said, Salaam alaikum. There was no way I can believe that the one who created the heavens and earth became a man like me. No, thank you. So pray internally, because if you do genuinely seek the guidance, that's what Allah says in the Quran, we respond to the caller that calls upon us. You sincerely call to God, Allah will send you signs, inshallah, and then read the Quran, the Bible, wherever you want to read. That's what I would advise, what I did personally, and I believe that Allah will guide you.
I want to mention thing before we end. And this is something that we did a podcast recently here in the UK. There was a woman, a sister, who was an Islamophobe. And you can watch this video, and inshallah, maybe if you're here, we could do something with her and her husband. She used to go to Muslim countries to convert Muslims towards Christianity. She would bribe schools, Muslim Islamic schools in Muslim countries to allow her to sit, and she's got videos of this where all these hijabi little girls, and she's out there trying to preach Jesus to them. She would go out to, you know, places to just go put big signs against the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she was an Islamophobe. She was from the leadership of her church. She was a student of every Islamophobe whose names you know. For years she would go around doing this. And alhamdulillah, she saw some of our videos. People who watch these videos that share them, you're a very important part of the da'wah, that the message got to her, where she got a Quran and she read it. And she flew to the UK from Portugal to speak to me. We were having an event here with our brother Ayman and the Mubashirun. And I remember at 11 o'clock we finished the event, then we went to the, what they call the unit, you know, in the their center. And, you know, of course, not alone. She was sitting covered, you know, out of respect. And she debated with me for 4 hours.
Wow.
4 hours. This is after, like, you know, at midnight, after, you know. And at the end of that, with tears in her eyes, she accepted Islam. And she told us not to tell anybody because her community, her family, Islamophobes. Imagine somebody who was that hateful. But what changed her? She actually read the Bible, realizing the nonsense, and she read the Quran, right? Objectively, it changed her heart. So imagine if she can be a Muslim today. Alhamdulillah, we didn't talk about this because we don't care about views. She told us keep it a secret. We kept it a secret until she was ready to open up about it. We did a podcast. We had her husband with her and stuff. We discussed, she tells her own story. Alhamdulillah, she's a Muslimah, muhajjaba today, practicing da'iyah. May Allah protect her. She's married to a good brother, mashallah. So, what does that tell you? Everybody out there, if you're objective and you're honest and you read the Quran and you read the Bible objectively, you will end up being a Muslim.
Exactly. Allah says in Surah Baqarah that we do not guide the wrongdoers.
Yeah.
So if your heart is clean, you're looking for goodness, Allah will guide you.
Beautiful. Sincerity, wanting to know the truth, God Almighty, directly praying to the Creator, He'll guide you to
and
the truth.
That, and we see that in Him. Yeah. We can see sincerity in Him.
So there you go, Dan, and anybody else who's seeking for the truth. You got the formula right there. Thank you guys once again.
Assalamu alaikum.